Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome back to Full Time with Meg Linehan. I'm Meg. You are listening to a show all about women's soccer on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am here in New Zealand. The time difference is definitely a little bit of adjustment. It has also made trying to work with folks back home a little interesting, just because of, you know, waking up at, I'm recording this at 7:30 in the morning. It's already mid-afternoon back home, but I thought it would be fun. You know, I'm the only American here covering the U.S. Women's National Team. There's plenty of local media around for these games. The U.S. has been a major draw, but I thought it would be fun to take you right into the press conferences with me for me, last night's match. It happened at 4 p.m. local time here in Wellington, but Vlatko Andonovski and Mal Swanson, formerly Mal Pugh, were in the room for the U.S. We've also got the New Zealand head coach and their player as well. And it has been a really interesting narrative around these games. More on that in a second, though, because before we get into these press conferences, as always, you can show your support at Full Time, plus get all of our women's soccer coverage and everything else The Athletic has to offer on our site and on our app, and you can subscribe right now at theathletic.com/fulltime. Okay, so before we get into this audio, I mean, just some impressions from the game. You know, obviously the Taylor Korniak at the six experiment. I did ask Vlatko about that. That was one of my main questions. And from where I was sitting, it did not really seem to work. I think the general consensus is that maybe not a terrible idea, but also, I mean, one of the things that we were really discussing about it between, you know, Steph and our editors and I was that the timing of this little experiment was really interesting. This isn't necessarily a bad game to try out another potential option at the six, but January of a World Cup year does feel like that feels like an interesting timing. Other than that, obviously Roosevelt kind of like honestly the main player of the game for me, outside of the goal scoring. Midge Purse, I thought, had a really great first half. I think that's really important for her as she tries to secure her role on this team. But yeah, I mean, other than that, a lot of questions, as you'll hear in the New Zealand press conference for head coach Jukka Klimkova and their player Olivia Chance about holding the U.S. scoreless 0-0 for that first half and then kind of what went wrong. But, you know, first, I really do want to give you some context about some of the narrative around this camp and these friendlies here in New Zealand, because I think there is this kind of, you know, Njeka called it a media driven narrative a little bit in terms of why would you even sign up to do this? It's outside of a FIFA window. Some of your main players haven't been released. You're calling up people, you know, two players got their first caps ever for New Zealand against the U.S. in this first game against Wellington. But I think what has been really interesting about this is that that game did not feel like a waste of time for me from a New Zealand point of view, especially that first half. Now, obviously, they're not necessarily going to be playing the U.S., right? They get these two friendlies, and I think there always has been this narrative of, for a team like New Zealand, for a lot of other teams that are maybe outside of a top 10 ranking, like, what do you really get from playing against the U.S. beyond a thrashing and maybe a few things that you can take away from? But what I found so fascinating about the New Zealand press conference, aside from all the normal things that we've been talking about the U.S., is that, you know, the U.S. has treated this trip like a test run for the World Cup. And I don't think I was fully aware that the same is happening for New Zealand, despite this being their home country. They play at home so rarely. They have never played at Eden Park before, which is this country's national stadium. They are the national women's soccer team. Like, this is a test run for them as well. It's a chance to build their culture. It's a chance to get some competition for these spots. So for me, what has been really interesting for me is how, you know, I came down here with this intent of, okay, we're covering the U.S. women's national team, New Zealand. Obviously, we're not going to ignore them, but they are kind of the secondary concern. But having seen up close and personal now what this means to New Zealand, what this means in their cycle, their storyline is absolutely fascinating to me. So one of the really nice things I think about Wednesday, it is a school holiday week here. Apparently it is the middle of summer. The weather has been beautiful. I have been told by many, many people that the weather was basically terrible before we all showed up, and it has been absolutely perfect here. But, you know, we've got school vacation. The game was a Wednesday night at 4, but over 12,000 people showing up. Their previous record for attendance in this country was only around 7,000. And so for us back in the U.S., like, maybe these numbers aren't super impressive, but I mean, there was a real sense, I think, of accomplishment around Wednesday. Wellington is this amazing city. It's going to be the most important group stage game for the U.S. because that's where U.S. versus Netherlands takes place. So to get a sense of that stadium, to hopefully see the grass conditions maybe change a little bit for the World Cup, again, we're not going to be getting perfect 75-degree weather for the World Cup because it will be winter here, much to the consternation of the players. But yeah, there were, I think, really good takeaways from both teams. The U.S. still has, I think, a fair number of questions to answer, but also I do think that it's important to remember that the first game of the year is always, it's a little shaky. So we'll see what happens in the next one when we head back to Auckland. I'll be flying back today. We'll have a press conference and training tomorrow, so there will be stuff coming out of that as well from us here at The Athletic. But in the meantime, first up, we've got Vlatko Andonovski and Mal Pugh from the U.S. postgame, and then Jekka Klimova and Olivia Chance from New Zealand in the second half of this.
So it's not pew, pew, pew. What are we supposed to shout now?
I have no idea. It's weird.
What did your coach say at halftime? Because the first half obviously was, what did he say at halftime?
Yeah, I think that at halftime we just kind of needed to come together. I felt like the energy was a little bit low, and there were just some things like tactically that we needed to fix, and I think coming out into the second half we did that, and it was a completely different game.
Blacko, does that sound like what you said?
To a T. I mean, just like Mel said, you know, coming off of a long break, the players are off season, they haven't played games, they haven't even trained in a team environment. We knew, we expected the energy to be a little different, which is okay. You know, there were like Mel said, there were a couple of things that we had to adjust tactically. I thought we did a very good job, especially at the beginning of the second half, and we turned the game around with those adjustments.
Like, how key was that first goal? Obviously, the former fans were sitting deep and then trying to frustrate you. You went and got 3 12 minutes.
Yeah, so the first goal, first, it was a very nice goal by Swanson. Yes, I gotta say, we kind of like Swanson better than Pew. She's done. Yeah, Swanson's done better than Pew. But I think it was very important. Obviously, it wasn't necessary because we opened up the team. It was because of what we're trying to do. What we're trying to change in the second half. We saw that it worked. So that was important for us. And then right away in the when we scored in the second and the third goal, we saw that that's again what we tried to change. It worked.
What do you make of Rose's back heel to assist us to move on the second goal? I mean, is this the kind of goal that you guys score all the time, or what was that?
I mean, I wish I can say we score goals like that all the time. I don't think there's a team that, that scores goals like that, or assists, or player that assists like that all the time. But that's Rose. I mean, her creativity is just at a different level, and. You know, one of the things that we wanted to better in the second half was find Rose in those areas where she can expose her creativity.
What were your takeaways with Taylor as the six for the first half?
I think it was good. Obviously, she's a presence there. She defended well. Aerial challenges. No one had any chance around her, and the challenges that she had on the ball were expectable because first time it will take a little bit of time for her to understand the distances, and especially now with Lindsay coming just a little bit lower to play with Lindsay in a different seam. Before that they were together, but a little bit higher, and now they're both on a little bit lower, so we knew that Lindsay's is going to need a little bit of time, Taylor's going to need a little bit of time. But then going in the second half, you know, all those little things were adjusted. Unfortunately, it wasn't Taylor at that point, but altogether it was good.
Like the pace that you showed on the wings in the first half, and that was the key early in the second half, just the pace that your forwards were able to break through?
Yes, the pace was good, but I think it was more the angles and the timing, not necessarily just the pure pace, because we have pace. You know, we have pace with Mel on one side, Mitch Purse on the other side, Trinity, Lynn. The pace is not, it wasn't the question. It was just the timing, how and when to use the pace.
And Miller, your first experience playing in New Zealand? How was that? Is it your first experience?
Yes, it's my first time here, I had to think. No, it was great. I think they're... there was a lot of people there, and we felt the energy, and it was hot, but I think it was a great experience overall.
Coach, you seem happy. That's very understandable given the result. Is this tour ticking all the boxes for you so far? What would you like to see out of game two that you didn't see tonight?
So I just want to be a little bit, I would say a little more on the same page when we're in possession of the ball and break down the team. We show some different ideas, some different ways of build up. Now if we can just fine-tune the distances, if we can fine-tune the angles, and then be more, just a little more aggressive when we're progressing or advancing on the field from the first zone to the second zone. Because once we get in the second zone, we have no problem progressing in the third zone. So that was one of the things that I would like to see. And then the other thing is just be a little more clinical once we get in and around the box. So, you know, we saw the, you know, one of the differences between first and second half was that in the second half, anything that came around the box or in the box, we were better. Like we put it on frame, we created opportunity, where before that we saw crosses getting behind the goal, crosses going straight to the goalkeeper, passes, missed passes, or even missed shots. You know, Lindsay and Rose have tremendous goal scoring opportunity and they miss them. So that's I understand that's part of the game, but I would like to see them being more clinical in those opportunities.
Did you think that mid shot was going in, the one that went off the post in the first half?
Yes, yeah, that was, yeah. We were kind of hitting the post a lot in warm up too. I was like, we can't be doing this. But yeah, I did think that was going to go in.
Now, international hat tricks don't come along very often. Any sense of disappointment when your number came up? You're on two goals.
Oh.
Transfer a third. Any sort of disappointment that your number came up and had to come off?
No, because I saw Lynn standing there, and it's been, I mean, her road to recovery has been pretty incredible to watch. And I think just to see her come in and make an impact and score a goal, I think it just goes to show what a great player she is. So I was really happy, honestly, because she was coming in.
This is a really competitive bunch of players. You're all trying to get into the 23 for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. How do you balance your personal ambition with wanting the team to do well all the time? Like you say, be happy to be replaced by another player.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it just goes to, like, you as a person, and I kind of just see as, like, you just serve others and you serve the team first, and ultimately that will come back to you at some point. So I think you're just trying to make the team better, and yeah, I think that when you have that impact and that positive impact on other people, then it can kind of come back to you, and that can show.
Just because you spoke about lens of recovery, how keen are you to see some of the other veterans that are missing at the moment get back to this team and walk?
Yeah, I think that this forward and this team is, like, super competitive, and I think that's kind of what drives this team, and I think that that's great. And I think that every day, I mean, since I've been here, you just have to, like, come and perform, and you can't switch off, and you have to compete every single day, whether that's on the field, whether that's just doing the right things off the field. So, yeah, I think that, I mean, those are ultimately decisions that we don't have to make. The decisions that we do have to make is you individually and kind of how you want to see yourself on this team. Yeah.
Like Kerr, did New Zealand do anything that surprised you in that first half?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. I think in the pre-match press conference, I said that we do expect the team to be very organized. We do expect them to be disciplined. We expect them to be motivated and inspired by the fans. So nothing surprised us. They just made it a little bit harder for us.
Was the crowd quieter than you expected, you know, compared to possibly a US crowd where it gets super loud?
I don't know if it was quiet. I mean, to be quite honest, I zone in once the game starts, so I can't tell you if they were loud or not. But it was good to see. They said 12,500. I mean, great start to show support for the game, and we're hoping to see even more crowd once we get back. I mean, they had their two favorite teams play.
Yeah, did the overall kind of atmosphere make you excited for 6 months' time to come back?
Yes, absolutely. We're looking forward. I don't know, Mel.
Yeah, I think that I actually, when I came out, I was just kind of looking around. I was like, wow, there is, like, a lot of people here. And I think that just goes to show, like, how much this game has grown. And I think I've heard that the World Cup is going to be insane. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Like, do you think today's performance, you know, scoring four goals is, you know, would have won a lot of people over, that, you know, when you do come back here and play the Netherlands and play other games of the World Cup, that people will be rooting for you in the back of today's game?
I mean, you know, their two favorite teams play, so one of them is going to lose, right? I have to say we're very excited that we were drawn in and based in New Zealand for our World Cup games. We were here and spent a little bit of time for the draw, and now obviously for the camp. We've connected very well with the community and doing different things, and the community has helped us as well. So like I said earlier, our goal is to become New Zealand's second favorite team.
Is there anything that you guys are doing outside of football to connect with the community, or activities and things that you're doing?
I mean, I think that's a question for our press officer, and he will tell you
everything.
we've done quite a few things, and I know we have a few more things lined up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX is Welcome to Wrexham. Premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, I think I was really proud of the team. I think we, you know, had a game plan and we stuck to it, to our task in the first half. I think we were hard to break down and, you know, we made those last-ditch challenges and we kept it tight at the back.
And I would just add to it, you know, like our focus was really to stay together, together in defense. We knew how we can create some chances. So together in our attack and together doesn't matter what. And I really believe that everybody around saw it. We finished the game with our attacking corner. We were on our front foot. We didn't give up. We were kept fight. We were fighting to the end of the game, and that's something what this team believe that we can do. Doesn't matter what, we will keep competing, and it was really great to see that we kept it till the end of the game. Obviously there was a period of time, and I think that's a huge lesson learned from us for the next game. It was very clear when we were on our front foot and we defended with our block very well, and then probably 15-20 minutes in the second half when they actually scored three goals, that's when we started dropping and started to defend with our back foot. And that was the difference that this team is going to take and want to improve for the next game. But overall, knowing that we have two players who have their first cup, that's incredible. We saw so many players we haven't seen for a while, and then they kept us in the game. They competed, so that's very positive outcome as well. And then, you know, this is something what we had to really manage, and that was the players loading. You know, it wasn't, that was our goal. Players were coming in, and we knew the player can play 45 minutes. So that's if you look how many challenges we had and how this team actually performed, I'm very proud. It was probably too long.
Yuka, how do you think Ali went as a single back?
Well, you could see that she really handled this situation very well. She organized our back line. She organized our team in front of her. So, again, it's incredible how good player she is, and how we know now we have some variations for her. So obviously we know her primary position is wing back, but she really took this role very well and showed that she can play in anywhere in the back line.
Two graces took the field on debut. What did you think of the
unbelievable. Like having first cup and being a starter, I think that already shows how she really raced during our training sessions. So, and it's unbelievable how huge difference she made after 1 year. So we saw her in Korea, which is November 2021, and all of a sudden we are in January 2023 and she's totally different player. And we were talking about it. If our players are going home with the homework and they are going to put the work into it, this is what can happen. And Grace is the example, the right example.
Is she someone that could be in your World Cup plans? You know, like, has she performed well enough?
It's awesome to have competition. So I think having her as a option for the wing back, it's very positive. And now we have to make a right decision and pick the player who is better at this position, this point.
Two questions. First one, going out there with a good crowd, playing at home against the United States for the first time. But what was the feeling, I suppose, going out and also during the game? I'm assuming you were too busy thinking about the game, but did you manage to take in a bit of what it all meant?
Yeah, I think for all of us, it's excitement. You know, this is the biggest crowd that we've had at home and we've broken a record and we do feel it. I think we can obviously push ourselves harder because we've got the crowd behind us. And I'm an attacking player and I love to attack. And against, world number one, there's not a lot of that. So they push players like me to make sure that we stay in line and we defend, because that's not always the funnest bit of the game.
Especially for her.
and so you get half time, nil all. So you must have thought, we can expect something coming our way in the second half, or were you?
Yeah, obviously we came in and, we gave each other a high five. Like, it was a good first half performance. We were happy with it, but we knew they would come out fighting. They're world number one for a reason, and we needed to try maintain what we did, and we did have a lapse. And so that's what we can work on now, was making sure that we limit the time that we have elapsed for and really push on. And as you saw at the end of the game, we did start to fight back a little bit. So the earlier we can do that, the better, I think, so we can have more chances up top.
Liv, how difficult a side are the US to break down? Because obviously you held them out the first half, but as you said, not too many attacking opportunities. How difficult a side are they to attack against?
Yeah, I think, they're really strong, pacey players, so it's about us picking out their weaknesses a little bit better than we did this game and really focusing on it next game. So yeah, it's incredibly difficult, and that means that when we get those opportunities that we really need to take them.
Yitka, in Ellie's post-match interview, she said that there had been criticism of this camp. Do you know what she's talking about?
Well, we all know this is outside of the FIFA window, and it was a huge question of specifically from media, I would say, is why are we organizing those games when we know we can have all players in? But you could see that that's what we had today, seeing two players and having two players who had their first cup is incredible. And I would say it was difficult to put the roster together, but it's worth it. It's such a unique year for us. We will play in 6 months the World Cup at home. So we are taking any opportunity when we can play games, especially at home. You know how much it means for the players, for the staff, to actually play with the crowd that is behind them. Liv lives in Scotland, and coming home, it means a lot for everybody. Like, we have players who are playing professional leagues in Europe, in the States. If we have the Ferenc tour, it's usually outside of New Zealand. So having those kind of opportunity to actually play home, it's we can't say no to this, especially when we know we have in 6 months the World Cup here. So I am very happy we organized those two games, and it really opened a lot of new opportunities.
What you say resonates, totally resonates with, I think, everybody in this room. I'm just wondering whether internally you felt that there was criticism about this camp. Because I don't know.
You can look... Yeah, you can look at this as a huge challenge. Why are we doing it? Or you can look at it as a huge opportunity for something new. Like, this is new for us. We've never done it before, but it's opportunity for those players who we haven't seen for a while. And what a great chance for them to come here to have the feeling of what does it actually mean to play at home, and knowing in 6 months we will be back here in Wellington. And I am sure we are going to break another record.
Do you really feel like there's been criticism from the media of it? I think that as an Australian, people have been critical of the A-League clubs for not releasing players so they can be a part of this. Do you share the criticism of those A-League clubs for not releasing players?
I don't want to really talk about any more criticism. I think if you look at the outcome of what just happened, it's so positive. And again, if someone thinks that it was not smart idea to bring USA outside of the FIFA window, that's their problem.
Okay. Can I ask a different question then? You're about to head north to Eden Park. As I understand, it's the first time that the firm's been allowed to play on Eden Park, which to me seems crazy given you're a national team and it's the national stadium. How much will it mean to you, particularly you, Liv, the chance to play at Eden Park?
Oh, thanks, sir. I think, you know, I've been in this team since 2011, and the first time I played in New Zealand was last year in Christchurch. So every opportunity that I get to play at home means the world to me, for my family to be here. You know, they don't see me in Scotland. So to play at the National Stadium and for all my family to be there and for everyone else in this team's family to be there will be an amazing experience. I hope that we can beat the record that we have today. But all these stadiums we're going to play at in the World Cup. So little things that we can adjust now is why this camp is good, because we're going to play here in 6 months' time, and we've already felt that now. We've already gone around the town. We know what it's like. So I think, you know, going back to the positives of this camp and what it means to play at both the stadiums, only good things can come from it.
And I would say it's not just for the players, and obviously that's the priority. And the outcomes are here, positive outcomes. But for us as a staff, supporting the players, having this chance to actually be at the World Cup hotel that we are going to stay, play at the stadiums where we are going to play, it's huge for us to review everything, what we can do better when the real tournament will be in New Zealand.
You talk about the opportunity that this whole occasion has given to those youngsters or rookies that haven't previously had a chance. And obviously it's awesome. But how do you think they actually went other than Grace? Like, were there any other standouts for you? And you know, like, a lot of those girls got their first start of being in and around, but, you know.
Yeah, and you know, like, Anna Green hasn't been playing for the Ferns since Australia, and she just played 90 minutes, and very solid 90 minutes. Ash Ward started in Korea. That was her first start. She hasn't started since. So another great opportunity for her to actually, you know, have this experience playing against the best in the world, playing against a quality opposition. And again, she and others who were in the squad could say, I can handle this. This is actually playable. We can do this. I know if you just look at the result, it's a big number. But if you look at the challenges that we had and how we faced it, it's so. I would do it again. I would definitely do it again.
Yeah, can you keep the team world champions 0-0 at half time? I guess how high is this team's ceiling? What is this team's potential?
Our goal really for this particular games against USA, we are building our culture, we are building our connection off the field, on the field. I think again, and you could see it. This team, we don't want to give up, we want to keep pushing. And again, doesn't matter who is on the field, you are wearing the crest, you are representing the country. You want to actually leave everything on the field. So that was what we saw, and that's what we are proud of.
What did you learn today about trying to control a player like Rose Lavelle?
Well, a very creative player. She's very unpredictable. But for us, it was about keeping our shape, trusting our shape, knowing if the ball is in your zone, you have to put a pressure on. Don't hesitate, go and put a pressure. And being compact means you need to have your teammates next to each other. So that cover, close cover, works against Roosevelt, works against any top players in the world. And we know that the creativity and unpredictability that Roosevelt has, we can fix together. It's not about one player running with her and making her life miserable. It's about how team is going to be cohesive to play against those top players.
Liv, did you think you could get a result at halftime? Was there a sense of belief that you could get something out of this game?
Yeah. I think, you know, we were able to maintain what we had done in the first half and maybe catch them on the counter or just have a little bit better position where we could get higher up in the field. Then I think we could have, obviously, like we've said before, there was that lapse, but we recovered quite well. We had a corner near the end of the game, so I really think that we can build from this game. It's about identifying players like Rose Lavelle that have dropped into the pockets as the game went on, and we just needed to be a little bit quicker and step, like front foot defending, where we were closer to her than like we were in the first half. They had a bit more room as the game went on.
Liv, how were you able to get released to come on this trip?
Celtic and I have a really good relationship, and they have a good relationship with New Zealand football, and they know that's a big year for us. And I was fortunate enough with the games that they were playing while I'm away, so yeah.
Rangers not quite the same with
the... No, so everyone supports Celtic.
And those final moments with the corner kick, the crowd went absolutely crazy. That record crowd went crazy. Does it give you a lift when everyone gets behind you? And will that play a role coming into the World Cup?
Yeah, 100%. I love it. I love a loud crowd. I love them if they're going to boo, if they're going to scream. Like, as long as we have the noise, like we've faced America plenty of times in America, and we love when they boo. They do that a lot. And that's, you know, so obviously we're at home, so I want them to be screaming for us. But yeah, it's only positive to be at home with all the fans.
And I would just add one thing. It was really incredible how every little moment the crowd celebrated. You know, that's what we were talking about on the field. We want to celebrate every little wins, and the fans actually were behind us, so thank you for that.
Yeah, okay, you're probably obviously very pleased sitting here now, but you did have the world champions 0-0 at halftime. Liv mentioned that you thought you'd get a result. Is there any disappointment there?
Well, we had tough 20 minutes. And that was the biggest lesson for us for the next one. We really need to defend with our front foot and not backing up, not having the block so deep. And that's what happened during those 20 minutes. And they are very experienced and they used it. So I think if we improve it in the next game, that will be the key for us.
Yeah, because that 4-4-2 system going to be... the same moving forward, you've got to look to incorporate that more.
Well, we want to be unpredictable. We don't want to be very, you know, clear how are we going to play. So we are looking for different formations. So I know we have already two. There is going to be potential more.
I think today's result was pretty, like, promising in performance, you know. Like, I think there's, like, it was a big glimpse of hope, and I think the crowd was excited. Does, that kind of, you know, have, like, mean you've got some tough decisions to make in terms of the young and experienced squad you had out there and the players you didn't have, you know, this week?
Oh, that's the best for the coach. If we have a tough time to decide who should be coming in. That's what we love. We love with the coaching staff, the discussions about, okay, who do we think is better? And it's not going to be a short process. This is going to take a time. We want to really review and make sure our decisions are the right decisions. But again, it doesn't mean in February we are bringing someone else, that in April we are going to bring the same team. It's really about the competition. It's about who is the best in the best shape at that point. And then those people, those players are going to come to those tours.
For all things full-time, you can visit fulltimepod.com. There are links for all the major podcast platforms in one spot, plus more information. And if, of course, you'd like to subscribe to The Athletic and support all of our women's soccer coverage, you can do that right now at theathletic.com/fulltime. My name is Meg. You have been listening to Full Time with Meg Linehan. I'm still on Twitter at It's Meg Linehan. Same handle for Instagram. Obviously, I've been having quite a number of New Zealand adventures. Yesterday, I did stop by the Wellington Zoo for a close encounter with their red pandas. Those photos, I will just be thinking about that for a really long time. So, you know, a lot of New Zealand content. This country is ridiculous. Really, that is the main theme that I am taking away from New Zealand, is that I am currently physically here, and yet I really struggle to understand how it's a real place that is this magical. Of course, you can find all of my work at The Athletic. Full Time does not exist without the work and support of senior podcast producer Michael Zimmerman. From The Athletic, I'm Meg, and I will be back in the States next week, and we will get back to a little bit more of a normal show, I hope.